Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial. If this is your first time listening, we are a married couple looking at life through a nerdy lens. How are you?
I'm tired but good because today I ran a 5K with a Wonder Woman theme.
Yes, a Wonder Woman theme.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because that's what made it even more awesome than just running a 5K race.
I mean, we have a friend... And she is a listener of the show.
Yes, she's a big-time listener, yes. Big-time supporter. She's actually been on a few, like, long time ago, we did some video questions, like a nerdy question of the day, and Lauren was on some of those.
Yeah. And she told me about this race that it was coming, and when she saw it, she was like, well, I have to tell the girl. And I was very honored that she thought of me, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was all about, like, being a strong woman and all the things that Wonder Woman stands for. So it was super fun.
There was tons of people, you know, dressed in Wonder Woman garb.
Well, they gave you a t-shirt that made you look like Wonder Woman and stuff like that. But they also had a lot of fun merchandise. A
lot of blue pants and red tops.
That's right.
And bracelets and tiaras, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
Or not a tiara. Would it be a tiara?
Kinda.
I guess it would be called
a version of that.
Something like that. Yeah. A crown. You know?
Wonder Woman's,
Wonder Woman's thing on her head.
Tiara. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to see all those people celebrating together. And there
was
a lot of people.
Half the fun was watching all of the people's outfits. Yeah.
And there was one woman who was like dressed to the nines. Like she was wearing a legit Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty awesome. I was very impressed with the women who actually ran in a Wonder Woman outfit because that is commitment.
A lot of chafing.
Yeah, that would be my fear.
So I was you started with Lauren without me and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like me and the baby were just like, okay, we'll meet you at the finish line.
Yes.
Now we were still in bed.
When we were starting
and everything like that, and so I got up to go. I got the baby, put her in the car, go over there, and traffic's a nightmare because all the roads are blocked for the race.
Right,
traffic is an absolute nightmare, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm just like, oh, if she started this time, you know, the girl's average running pace, just gonna calculate this, and like, oh my gosh, she's gonna be done soon. We gotta get there, and I'm wearing my Batman shirt. I'm pushing Ripley in the stroller, and as I'm running across a huge mall parking lot, I see two other dads with Batman shirts, one pushing a stroller, one like grabbing onto the hand of another kid, and we're all running towards the finish line. And I'm just like, man, we are all living the same story right now. Because we're just like, I could just tell that everybody's just like, okay, we got to get there for mommy. We got to get there for mommy. Otherwise, she's going to be angry.
Daddy's going to be in trouble all day.
We didn't leave the house in time.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that. That's hilarious.
It was amazing.
That's hilarious.
And I'm all wearing Batman shirts, including myself.
That's hilarious. Yes. So you're all nerds as well, but maybe don't have the commitment to run a race yourself.
Right. Right. Exactly. At least not a Wonder Woman one.
That's right. That's right. There were quite a few men there, though, too.
It's true. Yeah. You got to support.
Yeah,
support
absolutely.
Your sisters, mothers, and wives and all that kind of
That's
business.
Right. Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah. But it was just fun. Something fun to do. And I've really enjoyed recently doing races and probably the past year or whatnot. And when I saw one that would be like a nerdy theme, like, of course I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah. You love themed races.
I do. I really do.
And also food based races.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Hot chocolate and donuts.
That's right. Because if you're going to race, you need to do it for a reason. Like, I really wanted my Wonder Woman medal. Like, that was the big deal.
And that medal is freaking awesome. It spins.
Yes.
Like Linda Carter.
Exactly. So I don't know whether it's like, maybe I didn't get those participation like trophies in grade school. I never did anything like that. But I really enjoy a cool medal. And like this one was like, well, I have to have that medal in my collection.
Well, when I played baseball when I was a kid, they didn't give out any ribbons for last place. So even back then they didn't. I'm sure they do now.
No, but, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
But no. No. They didn't make a trophy low enough to the ground for my peanut league.
Maybe you should take up racing just to, you know, feel that thrill.
Just to get some sort of recognition for athletic ability.
Just to try, yeah. Because that's the beauty of it. It's like if you finish, then you get something.
Well, that would be a new experience for me. My trophy case is quite bare. But if you go to my Xbox achievements,
well, ooh, I'm sure, yeah, yes.
Those are through the roof, as it were.
We also did something cool. I guess it was maybe 2 weekends ago.
I don't know if it's last weekend or 2 weeks ago. I cannot remember, but we wanted to podcast about it, and we wanted to podcast about it so bad, but couldn't. And what we did was we actually went to the Music Box, which is an old theater.
Very old.
In downtown Chicago. It's on the north side near Wrigleyville. And it's an old theater, and they play a lot of foreign films, a lot of silent films, a lot of indie films. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
Some stuff that's unknown or stuff that's hard to get a print for.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend of ours and also, you know, host on the network, Mike Schindler, you should definitely check out all of his stuff. He has multiple shows on the network.
Yeah.
He's very talented. He is actually in the theatrical business.
Mm-hmm.
He manages some theaters and he works a lot with distribution. I'm phrasing it wrong, but he works a lot with figuring out what movies go where and when and how often and everything like that. So like, he knows the business and he knows a lot about theatrical distribution. And so he texted me, he said he knows that we're huge Fincher fans.
Right.
He said the Music Box is playing Fight Club in 35mm, and since Disney bought Fox, they're not really that great on re-releasing stuff in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be your last chance
to
watch Fight Club in 35mm in a theater.
Yeah, and we were too young to go see Fight Club in the theaters.
Right. Because we were like 13, 14, something
like
that.
Yeah, there's no way I would have been. No.
I saw it, but not in the theater.
I saw it later. So we got to go downtown and do that with Schindler and his wife, and it was awesome. It was so much fun.
Yeah, not only did we get to see it, we actually got to see it with Schindler and his wife.
Yeah, it was so much
fun. Two lovely people.
Yeah.
And
it's a very old theater, but
very uncomfortable on the behind.
That's right, but so worth it because it was so much fun. First of all, we forgot how much we love that movie.
Every single time I watch it. It's so good.
And also to see it also with a theater full of people who love it.
Who want to be there for it.
Like, no one was talking.
Everyone was laughing
at the sardonic, like, dark moments of the film, which, you know, it has, like, a very weird sense of humor about itself. And it was just so much fun to watch it with, like, it was just, like, you could feel the vibe in the room was, like, we're with our people.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's the appeal of something like the Music Box, is because when you're there, you know that everybody wants to be there, and mm-hmm. it's your kind of ilk. No one just kind of like walks in randomly off the street. Like, no one's just like, let's kill some time. Like, they're not showing Avengers Endgame there.
Right.
They're not showing the Incredible Life of Pets or Secret Life of Pets 2 or whatever that's called. You know, they're not doing that
right
there. It's movies you seek out.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it's interesting because you've heard me complain constantly on this show and in life about my theatrical experience. I was like, I want my theatrical experience to be perfect. I want a perfect screen. I want perfect sound. I want really comfy seats. I want no one talking, no one on their phone, no nothing.
Basically, no people.
I want no people. Basically, I want to be home just with a big screen.
Right.
But with the music box, the seats were incredibly uncomfortable. The organ on the left was in the way of the screen. The AC was not working.
Yeah, our night was not working.
And so it was super hot. And the sound was weird? Like the sound was weird.
A little bit, yeah.
And the print was scratchy as hell. And it was perfect.
It was
a perfect experience for Fight Club.
Absolutely.
Because that is Fight Club.
Yeah.
It's dirty. It's grimy. It's not so perfect.
True. Yeah, it's really true. So like feeling a little bit uncomfortable during Fight Club, it's almost like, yeah, you need to feel a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Right?
It just, for some reason, like it just clicked with me. And out of all people, I thought that like I would just be annoyed the entire way through. But it was the exact experience that you would want out of a 35-minute showing of
definitely.
Fight Club.
Definitely. And it was one of those things where, like, we always have talked about going down to seeing different things down there just because of all the great work that they do, mm-hmm. Showing films that you can't get or, you know, are out of printer or whatever. And so the fact that we actually went down and did it this time, I was really proud of us because I feel like, you know, in life, sometimes you're just like, you get lazy, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, it's too much work. Like, and it's really not that far for us, but it is because it's going downtown and we live in the suburbs. And I know it sounds stupid, but it's like, okay, we got to get a sitter and, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's a night of it. Right. But I'm really proud of us for doing something like that. It was really fun. And we should do it more often too.
We really should. And it kind of got me thinking, and I don't want to talk about the Disney buyout because that's not what I'm going to ask you. But since Disney bought Fox and like Schindler brought it up, like, oh, Disney doesn't really like to re-release stuff that much in the theater. It got me thinking, you know, like what is something that we missed? What's something because we either weren't born yet or were too young or too lazy or too poor, you know, like what was it? When was it, you know, like that we missed in the theater that we, if given another shot, would jump on that opportunity? Like, what would you like to see in the theaters? Where it's just, because, like, you and I, we love watching movies at home.
Yeah.
Because no one's around, no one's talking, no one's chatting, no one's on their phone. The floors aren't sticky. We have a great TV. We have a good sound system. Mm-hmm. So it would take a lot to get us to the theater.
Yeah,
it's true. It took one of Fincher's best films.
Yeah, I was going to say.
To get us there.
And it was interesting is that the music box, they were showing like previews of their upcoming films. And like a lot of them were like a series of film. Like each night they would have like a different of the director or something like that. Yeah. So I was kind of thinking about this and I was thinking like, I think I would really enjoy, like if I saw this come to the music box, I would really enjoy going to like a Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Like film festival, like you kind of buy a ticket for each night would be a different movie or whatever. And I think what the most appeal for me would be being surrounded by like a bunch of other Wes Anderson film nerds and like kind of experiencing it together. Mm-hmm. Cause I've seen some of them in theaters, but the one that comes to mind is the Royal Tenenbaums.
Right. Of course. And man, like a Wes Anderson film festival. I don't know if I have enough scarves for that.
I think we could work on it.
I'm just kidding. I totally do. I totally do.
I know you did.
No, that would be, that would be interesting. That would be a lot of fun because, especially his earlier stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that to sound like a hipster. I'm already there. We're talking about Wes Anderson. No, I'm talking like, you know, we've seen the you know, Moonrise Kingdom, and we've seen the, Grand Budapest Hotel and everything like that. We've seen the Phantasm is for Fox and Isle of Dogs, but I wasn't really into Wes Anderson
right.
when Life Aquatic came out.
Yeah,
when, you know, Rushmore came out.
Mm-hmm.
When Royal Tenenbaums come
those
out.
Those are the ones
like that
come to mind that I would have liked to have seen. And like, you know, when we go to theater, we always bring up like the fact that, you know, we want to spend our money on like things that we need to see on the big screen. But I think this is one of those cases where it's not necessarily for the, you know, the visual spectacle of it. It's more like for the experience of watching it in a group of people, because that's what I really enjoyed about Fight Club, was, like you said, it, like, you know, it was 35 millimeter, but it was scratched so bad. Mm-hmm. But the most fun was watching it with people that really loved Fight Club too. So I think that would be really fun.
Okay, that you're hitting an aspect that I didn't really think about before, where, like, seeing it with a group of people, because, you know, I don't like people.
Right. You just said that you don't want to just watch it by yourself.
But I did, you know, like, we've talked about before, like, last Halloween, when we saw Halloween, mm-hmm. the new one, like, that was half of the fun, was everyone
coming
together and you know, jumping at the right moments, and even just a little bit of whispers, like, oh, my God.
Right.
You know, stuff like that was fun to hear and to be around. And so, like, my picks, the things that come to mind would be something that you would not want to sit in a theater for that long. Mm. Like, mine is, like, I want to see the Ten Commandments on the big screen.
Oh, wow.
I want to see Kingdom of Heaven on the big screen, the director's cut. So, like, these are all, like, 3.5.
So, epics.
Almost. Yeah, I want to see epics on the big screen. I want to be in a classy movie theater, and I want them to be on film. Because I think, like, usually around Passover, you can get the Ten Commandments in a Fathom event. But it's going to be a crappy digital projection.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You know, like,
right,
watch it at home. It's not so much the big screen. It's not just the big screen that I want. It's, I want that film quality. I want light projected through celluloid on a screen for an epic. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah,
like, I don't necessarily need, like, the audience participation when I'm watching the Ten Commandments or anything like that. I'm not really sure
what kind of participation you have during that.
I'm not quite sure.
One,
like,
so,
you know, when the angel of death comes by, you're like, you know, like, or something like that. I don't know. But so with that, I'm not quite sure. Like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe if there was kind of, like, those jump scares and everything like that, maybe, like, the Alien films, you know, like, Alien, Aliens, Alien
that
3, something
fun.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the thing is, though, is that we've all seen those movies dozens of times, so we're not going to, like, jump, except maybe you. You still jump to things, even though you know they're coming.
Hey, be nice. Yes, I do. No, that would be fun, like, seeing Alien or Aliens, not so much Alien 3, but yeah, like, on the big screen, like, just to see it with people who, like, love it, and mm-hmm. because it is such a classic sci-fi.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I'm
trying to think if there's anything
else. I don't have any desire to watch Ten Commandments on the big screen.
I would never take you.
That.
Don't
thank
worry.
Thank you. Good. No, it's just because I think it's too long.
Yeah.
It's too long.
I mean, Fight Club's only 2 hours and 19 minutes, and I think when Tyler Durden revealed himself to the narrator, that's when my butt was just like, dude, you got to move, do something, go to the bathroom just to get up and stretch your legs.
No, yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, we're used to watching, I mean, we watched Endgame, which is like 3 hours or something.
Yeah, but
like
we weren't in music box seats.
It's true. Like in old seats. I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have like crappy seats when you go see something re-released or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get that though. I agree with the Alien and Aliens one, but you can have the Ten Commandments by yourself.
Do you remember a good theatrical experience? Like, when you think, man, that was a good theatrical experience, what pops into your head besides, like, something that happened to us recently? Like, is there anything that pops in your head where you're just like, man, I'm so glad I saw that on the big screen?
I think Gravity.
Yeah.
Was one that I really enjoyed.
Good choice.
Just because it was like it demanded to be seen.
It's kind of built just for the theater.
Yeah.
Like we watched it not that long ago and it's still enjoyable on the small
screen. But it was
screen.
So much more impressive.
We saw that in IMAX too.
Yeah, in IMAX. Like we saw it right mm-hmm. because we saw it in IMAX, and you know, it was really impressive, and it felt like a movie that was more of like an event. Like, we're going to go see Gravity because you have to see Gravity in this way.
Kind of like Dunkirk in 70 millimeter.
Right, right. And we did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I will have to say that usually negative experiences kind of stick in your brain more, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I would say that one is the one that comes to mind when you say that.
Two pop it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And this first one that I'm going to mention didn't pop into my head until you mentioned Gravity, and that's Avatar.
Mm.
Like, Avatar in 3D was built for IMAX in 3D. Like, that was the entire reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It jumpstart, you know, it jumpstarted the 3D, the short-lived 3D fad that was going on.
Well, and it was designed specifically. Yeah, yeah.
And like, James Cameron built that movie. He's like, watch this in IMAX in 3D, and then you have the full Avatar experience.
Right.
And I remember just being so utterly impressed by the visuals and the sound design. I think that's what really pushed it over the edge for me, was the sound design, where I was sitting there in the IMAX and just hearing everything swirl around me. Mm-hmm. It just enveloped me like crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I was so happy that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, and this was also sound related too, was Tron Legacy. I was so utterly happy to see that on the big screen,
so
because
funny.
I am such a Tron fan, and just Daft Punk's score was so perfect.
That's so funny.
For that movie. And I remember there was a time when the music hit and they go into the game space, and you it's just a moment, and then they start going Rensselaer, Rensselaer, Rensselaer. And in that moment, my mom leans across in front of my dad and starts hitting me really hard in the shoulder, because she's just like, are you watching this? Are you seeing this? Like,
that's funny.
She was just so jazzed. And and she knew that I would be too. And it was just one of those fun moments that only happens in the theater, because you're enveloped by the sight and the sound.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
That's really it. Like, I wish I had some sort of, I don't know, some sort of story of like some older, you know, like some older film where like I was like, oh, I was watching, you know, the French New Wave, and, you know, I just caught myself crying before even the first credit. You know, like, I don't have anything like that. It's really just like, oh, it was awesome because it was loud.
I would love to have, I've said this before on the show, but my first experience watching Star Wars was when they were released in special edition in the theaters.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal to me to go to the theater and watch. Like, of course they existed, right? But like, my parents were like, you're not watching it until we see it on the big screen each year.
I keep forgetting
that. So like, I even tried to like keep kids away from me for spoilers from each episode, each movie. And I was like, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And I would love to one day, like, that would be so cool if there was an opportunity, like, that Ripley was old enough that if they did for some reason re-release them, especially if they re-released them in like the 1970 versions, that would be fantastic. But to have that, I really enjoyed that theatrical experience of like, we're going to go see Star Wars and this is something special.
Yeah. Like, this is a big deal,
Ripley.
It was
a really big deal. So that comes to mind as well.
I keep forgetting that you didn't see them until that happened.
I didn't.
I knew it wasn't until the special editions came out, but I didn't know that it was like you do nothing about it until you saw them at the theater.
I didn't. I had no clue. Like, not even a little bit.
So when you got to Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And Vader said, like, no, I'm your father.
Yeah.
Like, that was
a surprise
to you?
That was the first time that I knew that.
That is beautiful.
It was beautiful. Like, seriously. It was one of those things that I thank my parents for it, because it made it so special. It really did. And I think that that's kind of where, if I am being honest with myself, I think that's where I kind of like fell in love with cinema. It was like just that anticipation, right? And like just feeling, I was so engrossed in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And even the amount of time that passed, like, it wasn't obviously as much time, like, because they had them and then they just kind of kept releasing them. But even waiting, there was something beautiful about that.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to wait to see, not as long as people did
right,
back in the
right.
day, but just even that little bit of waiting made it more special.
I remember we were at a theater as a family, and they had the posters up for the special editions. And that was when news was coming out that they were making the prequels. And I think, was it one, they came out once a month, like during the summer or something like that?
I can't
or
remember.
Was it more?
It was something like that.
But like, I remember my mom saw the poster and she didn't recognize the old ones. And she's just like, wow, they're just going to come out with them like that? Bing, bang, boom? Like, uh-huh. like one each month? That doesn't make sense.
That's funny.
And so I was like, no, those are the old ones. She's like, oh, yeah, well, whatever then. My first time I watched it was on a crappy TV in the basement on VHS. Mm. You know, like 4x3 VHS. That was the first time I saw Star Wars. And it wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm.
Like when I saw Star Wars, like my dad didn't make that big of a deal about it.
Interesting.
And honestly, I don't even remember if he was there for A New Hope. Like, it was, there is a spider, and I'm going to go kill it.
I'm honestly surprised that you did just kill that, because I am the spider killer in our household.
You are the spider killer in the household, because actually, like, just, man, maybe we need to talk to the Orkin guy, because just yesterday, you said, hey, there's a giant spider in the tub, and I need you to see it to, just in case we need to call the Orkin man. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm cool.
Yeah, I was like, cool. Okay, thank you.
Like, I'm just going to be
thank you. I'm just right gonna go. I'm just going to go talk to the spider because it's that big.
See if you can reason with it.
Yeah, I'll reason with it. But cool. Just like, I'm going to stay right here. Thanks.
Damn it. Why are we getting spiders?
You're not going to be able to sleep tonight.
No, probably not. So yeah, like I think I remember... Like I was really young, and dad was at work, mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I was just like, I want to watch. I just pulled it off the shelf. I was just like, this looks awesome. I want to watch this.
Mm.
And it was Star Wars: A New Hope. And she calls up. I think I remember this. Yeah, she was sitting on the stairs, and she calls up dad at work and says, like, can Tristan watch this? And I don't remember the outcome. Maybe he said no, like, wait for me. Or maybe he said yes. I can't remember.
Hmm.
But I watched it that day.
Okay.
And, you know, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I just need to watch these more. And so it wasn't like a big lead up where, like when we show Ripley Star Wars, it's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But with my dad, it wasn't. But then when he found out, he's like, oh, he really likes Star Wars.
Right.
Like, it became a thing between the two of us.
Sure, sure.
Where we would watch it together constantly.
Yeah, he's I like, get that.
Oh, thank goodness. You know, like, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think the attitude was like, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to see this. That was kind of the more the tone. Like, I wouldn't say that my family is like huge into Star Wars. It was more like I was huge into Star Wars. Like, I mean, not that like my brother didn't like it as well, but... it wasn't like my parents were like, Star Wars is the best thing in the whole world. It was more of like, this is something that you need to see.
Yeah. It,
as like, a human being.
They recognized that it was a cultural phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. Like, kind of and like the fact that you can see on the big screen, we're going to do this.
That's something that I think is lost on some people, especially nerds and especially nerds online, where you can be a casual fan of Star Wars, but still recognize its cultural impact on our society, as well as in pop culture and literature and the zeitgeist and everything like that. But you don't have to, you know, like, know every single line from the movie.
Right.
You don't have to know that C-3PO is a protocol droid.
Right.
You know, like, you don't have to know all these little nitty-gritty things in order to be a quote-unquote fan. You can be like our parents, who were like, oh yeah, I saw that in Kansas City in 1977. It was amazing. That's such a great movie. All right, let's go have dinner. Like, they're not talking about how, you know, Boba Fett is not really a Mandalorian, but he wears Mandalorian armor.
Right.
Like, my dad never had those conversations with me, but he's a huge Star Wars fan.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just...
yeah, and I think, like, maybe fandoms have, you know, people have found each other more, right? So, and then there's more of that, like, comparison of how big of a fan you are. Whereas, like, this type of stuff, I'm completely wrong, but it feels like maybe it was more niche. Like, you had to find that group of people that you could talk to. Like, and nerd is so much more of, like, an accepted idea now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I feel like maybe it wasn't, right, for a while, for a long time. So now it's more of, like, well, if you're a nerd, oh, cool, you're a nerd. Whereas before it was more of something maybe you hid.
Yeah, I think it's quite possible.
Yeah.
So should we kind of move on to Black Mirror season 5?
Sure.
You think?
Sure.
All right. So we're not like gigantic Black Mirror fans.
No, and in fact, we I think a few episodes ago. Well, not just
it
a
was
few,
more no, than a few I episodes know,
that, ago. That's just time for me. I have a hard time with time.
A while ago.
Yes. We decided to seek out like a list that told us like the go-to Black Mirror, like the best of it Black was Mirror.
IMDb's yes. top 10, top ranked, the top 10 highly ranked episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a countdown mm-hmm. from 10 to 1.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Like we were just like, oh, wow, these are some really great episodes. Some were better than others.
Of course.
Some clicked with us more mm-hmm. than others. But overall.
They do stick in your head.
They stick in your head. Great right. concept series and everything like that. And just last week,
mm-hmm.
You're listening to this on Monday. It was released on Wednesday, I think, something like that. Season 5, which is just 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Just 3 episodes. And whenever there's, like, Black Mirror is very popular online. And it wasn't always a Netflix original.
Oh, okay.
But some of the later seasons are. And some people are saying that, oh, ever since it went over to Netflix, it kind of lost its teeth.
Okay.
And I think that's an interesting take. Lee Hutchison, who is a friend of ours, also a great host on the network. Check out his stuff, Filibuster and the A24 Project. He hated this season.
Really?
He thought it was absolutely weak. And everything
really?
Like that. So
okay.
We're going to try not to spoil anything
it's
for
hard,
you. It's going to be hard. Hopefully you've seen it. We'll try not to spoil it, but we'll let you know if we kind of
yeah,
go in
that
territory.
Yeah, that might happen. I don't yeah. know about that.
Actually, yeah, actually,
no. Because you need to talk about the concepts.
You
got to
talk
so...
about the concepts, especially with that first one with striking vipers or viper striking, whatever.
Yeah. Remember.
Like, the concept
so
is...
So should we... say spoiler territory now?
Yeah, I think we should. I think
okay,
we should.
Okay, so if you haven't watched season 5, then
watch go watch
them,
it and then listen
back.
To this portion.
Yeah.
I mean, we gave you 30 minutes worth of really good content, even if you haven't seen Black Mirror. So,
speaking of, tell us a movie or maybe like a director that you'd like to see re-released or like have a film festival of their works or something like that.
Yes,
we would
absolutely.
Love to know because it's probably something we haven't even thought of that we would want to see too.
Yeah, let us know if there's something specifically in 35mm
yeah.
or if there's something involved in a festival that you'd like
right.
to see.
Absolutely.
Or maybe it could even be as, you know, like as big as like, oh, I'd want to see all the Star Treks in the theater or something
mm-hmm.
like that. Or something is really niche like, oh, I really want to see Terrence Malick's Badlands in 35mm. Something like that.
Right.
What you can do is go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email, and you can also find us on social. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. The show handle is at Join Nerd Party. You can find me personally on Twitter at The Insane Robin. So, season 5, spoiler territory, here we go. The first one is called Striking Vipers. I think I'm... Viper strike. I don't
no,
have my notes in front of me.
Vipers.
Okay. That doesn't, I was like, Viper, you're striking.
Notes,
that doesn't make
you're
sense.
Silly.
Yeah, I know. Like,
you don't
we have
ever
notes.
Have notes.
But it's starring Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
Who also known as Falcon
mm-hmm.
from Marvel, the MCU, and everything
right,
like that.
Right.
And he was good in this.
He
like,
was.
I was like.
I haven't really seen him in much else.
Yeah.
So.
I couldn't really judge him other than what he's done for Falcon. And so,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, it's Marvel, you know, so it's not like you're doing anything heavy hitting. No, like, we're big Marvel people, so it's not like
right.
we're trying to go, you know, we're not trying to talk down on it.
Right.
But it's...
But maybe not seeing him, like, to be able to show off what he can do and
right.
acting-wise, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it was... Okay, so we watched that one, and... I don't know about you, but like that one was probably the most interesting to me.
100%. Like
yeah.
I was actually out of the three, that was the one that really stuck with me. I was and like as we were watching it, I would turn to you every once in a while and go, "This is fascinating." Like this is really interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of Marvel, there's a character in there and I cannot remember her name, but she's like one of the fighting characters and
yes.
she's Mantis.
She's yeah. Oh,
yeah.
that's right. Yeah. She's
yeah.
Mantis. So they have two
there you
Marvel
go.
Characters.
Yeah.
There.
I cannot remember her name. So I'm so sorry. But she was in there too.
But she like, it's hard. You almost don't recognize her cause she's blonde in this.
Yeah. It's like a blonde. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, she's platinum.
Platinum.
Blonde
yeah.
In Black Mirror. But you know, of course Mantis, she has black hair.
Right.
But yeah, in this, like, obviously, since we're in spoiler territory, you've seen it, so I don't need to describe the plot to you, but it's, you know, it takes place in a future where virtual reality is indistinguishable from real life. And so they get into like this Mortal Kombat Tekken kind of battle where it's like it's on Xbox Live and like they're playing from great distances, but they're connected to the internet. And so this guy is playing with his old roommate and who he hasn't seen for a long time.
And they have a history of playing this game together.
But previous versions.
Right.
And so they're
not VR.
Not VR. And so they get into it. And then all of a sudden, his roommate is playing a female character. He's playing a male character. And all of a sudden, they stop fighting and they have an awkward kiss. And you're just like, whoa, like what?
Right.
And you actually said, you're like, oh, saw that coming. And I go, what? Where? How? I thought it was just two dudes who was going to play a video game together. Like, I legit thought that this was going to be about video game addiction. Because in like the prologue.
Kind of was.
In the prologue, it was, you show him, he's like, okay, man, I can only play for like a little bit. And all of a sudden it's morning. Well, I just had a conversation with a coworker of mine last week where he used to have an Xbox, but then he got rid of it. He's like, no, I got a real issue. He's like, I am very addicted to video games.
Okay.
And if I play, I could easily lose 8 hours and not know it. And I'm like, whew.
Wow.
Jeez. I was like, yeah, that's a good thing you got rid of it. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, with me, I love video games.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I could easily waste 8 hours, no problem. But if
you don't ever have that opportunity.
I never have that opportunity. If life is calling me, I can put down the controller and not think twice about it.
Right.
And so maybe that's why I was thinking. I even thought to myself, I was like, oh man, it's going to be so great to see a morality tale about technology, about an addiction to video games instead of addiction to porn, which is just so tired. And that's totally what it was analogous to.
Right.
You know, like it was about like being addicted to sexual material and everything like that, which is fine.
Right.
But so in this Tekken like Mortal Kombat game, you have fully functioning genitalia and you can have sex with people virtually. And I'm just like, who designed this game? Like, how is this getting released?
Like allowing that to happen, like on the side, like, oh, you're playing the game, but now you're not playing the game.
Like, how is this a feature?
It's so funny. Well, people find features all the time, right? Like through video games, like, oh, well, if you do this move, then you can find this area, right? Like, or even game designers will put stuff
like
in
Easter
there.
Eggs.
Easter eggs.
This
is
a pretty blatant and obvious Easter egg.
Oh, that's true. That's
but
true.
Regardless, this story, you know, Anthony Mackie's a married man, and there's his roommate who is male, and he is a heterosexual. They're both heterosexual men, but then all of a sudden, this opens up a window of virtual sex with the same sex but in opposite sex bodies, and it really just makes you think about the future. And that's what I really like about Black Mirror. Even if the episode is trash, a good Black Mirror episode, even with a trash story, will give you a concept that gets you talking with your friends and your family,
right?
And just going like, what is that gonna be like?
Right.
Like, in the future, are we going to have to deal with stuff like that? Because, you know, like it talked about, you know, what is it in the future when you have access to these things? What does it mean?
Is it cheating?
What does it mean to be?
Right.
Is it infidelity? Is it heterosexual? Is it homosexual? Is it bisexual? Are you dealing with some sort of transgender issues because you're having sex in a different different gender than yourself, you know, like
right.
It's just all of these questions wrap in.
But you're
into
not
one episode.
Really having sex, but you are having it's like it's answered. Like the more, and I think that's the thing about Black Mirror. It's like the more technology you have, the more questions there are, and the more gray area there is as far as like, you know, when it comes to fidelity and everything like that. Of like, okay, well, if I do it in a video game, does that count? You know, and is that cheating or is that just part of the game? I mean, obviously they were explaining in this one that became a lot more of a relationship, right? Like they were talking and they had to, like they basically were like dropping everything so they could hang out.
It moved from sex into intimacy.
Right, exactly.
But yet they weren't willing to accept that outside of the video game.
Right.
In fact, they even tried kissing outside of the video game and said that they felt nothing.
Right.
But that's one thing that really, I'm just like, because in the video game, they show them like they get done having sex, and then like he like brushes his cheek. They're like laying in each other's laps, dude. Like
this right, is... if it was just about sex, it's a little bit more than that, right? Like,
right.
You're in there like talking and like pillow talk, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just about that. It felt deeper
and, like,
than just sex. Just to have sex, right?
Yeah.
Or to have sex in a different way and experience a different thing.
In a different location.
Right.
Like, even the roommate said, he's like, it's not real. It's like porn. Like, trying to downplay it. Like, when Anthony Mackie said, I can't do this. It's not fair to my wife. I got to move on. We can't do this anymore. He's like, it's no big deal. It's just like porn. And he's like, you know, it's more than that. And it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, because that's, like, an area that we don't know yet what that's gonna look like and
the ramifications.
Right, exactly. So it's just interesting to think about, and it's very Ray Bradbury-esque, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's always, you know, he was always writing about what the future would look like in it with technology and how that was going to influence us socially. And
I don't remember Ray Bradbury getting this racy.
Well, no, it wasn't this racy, but it's just that concept of like, we've always been doing this, right? Like, where we're trying to imagine the future. And that's what I think is so interesting about Black Mirror, is that you're trying to imagine a future and how you would deal with those situations and that technology. Would you have that technology? Or would you not even open that door?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Would you not even decide to do VR? Or is it VR just so, you know, like having a cell phone in your pocket that, well, what do you mean you don't have VR? Like, is it just like, no, everyone just has this now. So it's just very interesting.
It was like that one episode, I think it's called The History of Your Life or something like that, where everybody has memory implants.
Yeah, the grain.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can, I think about that too.
You can play back your every single thing that you witnessed your entire life. You can play back like it's on an Apple TV.
Right.
And even though I think the story was really weak, that concept is fascinating.
That one sticks in my head probably the most.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a great storyline, but just the idea of that. And just like this, right? Where like it feels, all these concepts feel, if not realistic, like, oh, I've got to figure out how I have to deal with that, just slightly out of touch, where you're like, that could happen. So what will my decision be?
And so, I thought that was fascinating. And I was kind of like that with this one. Like, I like the story of this one more than The Story of Your Life or History of Your Life or something like that. I didn't think it was an A+. I don't think it was a knock out of the park, but I gave it 4 stars.
Oh yeah. I think this one was definitely of season five. This one was my favorite.
Yeah.
Just because it got me thinking and it was well acted and it was just very interesting.
Now, what do you think about the ending where the wife finds out, because Anthony Mackie is they end up fighting, in real life. And
the two guys,
The roommates. And so they get arrested. And so he has either has to make up a really convincing lie or just be honest and say, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does tell her. And then all of a sudden, they decide to have an open marriage where once a month, he can have crazy virtual reality sex with his old roommate.
Yeah.
Male roommate who is in a female body on the internet, and then she gets to go to bars and pick up strange. So what did you think of that?
Well, I think it's a very that's a really deep question there, but I think
from a story standpoint.
From a story standpoint.
From a moral standpoint or from your own standpoint.
I was just kind of like, okay, I guess if that works, I guess. Like, you know, because they kind of show them in like you know, they have a stronger relationship or whatever, like, or at least back to where it needed to be or something mm-hmm. like that. I guess the thing, again, it kind of asks the question, like, okay, but she's physically out there and, you know, also, you know, I mean, not that reputation matters that much, but like, she's out there, like, you know, looking for guys and he's okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, you know, it works for some people, I guess, but, and his whole relationship is on the internet and not physical.
Right.
In the way.
And totally secret.
Right. Exactly. So it just, I don't know. It was one of those things where you're like, I still don't know if that completely solves their problem, but.
I kind of feel the same way with, like, you bring up the physical aspect. She's physically and actually doing that in the real world.
Right.
He's doing it virtually. I'm kind of like, ooh.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that. I would have liked to seen more damage.
Oh.
At the end of this episode. I would have liked to have seen
that fight?
No.
Between the husband and wife?
Not necessarily seen the fight. I would have liked to have seen Anthony Mackie and his wife try to recover.
Mm.
I would have liked to have seen them damage, but they have their second child. And I want to see them try to get over it. They're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not perfect. It's not where it was, but you see a glimmer of hope saying, like, okay, we're working through it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get through it. It's going to be okay. And I want to see the roommate down spiral, where he just keeps, like, looking and looking for another companion.
He did, including a polar bear.
Including a polar bear.
So, I don't know about that one.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have liked to have seen him incredibly damaged because, Anthony Mackie had his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to kind of shut it down and, like, walk away from it for the most part. But this guy really couldn't. And they show that in the story, that he was attached way harder than Anthony Mackie.
Right.
So I would have liked to have seen that because...
Or at least more honest.
Because these types of things damage people. They damage relationships. They damage you emotional. This kind of addiction, this kind of infidelity is hard to recuperate from.
Right,
and I would have liked to have seen that as opposed to the whole weird, we're just going to do the open relationship thing once a month.
You feel like it's a little bit... We skipped a lot of details there, basically.
Not so much skipped a lot of details. It's just I would have liked to have seen a different ending.
Okay.
Like that's all that I really...
All right.
That's just me. I'm sure that worked for some people, but yeah.
Let's talk about...
the Smithereens one?
Smithereens, yeah. This one, I mean, it had some suspense to it, but it's a concept that isn't necessarily completely... you know, novel or anything like that, right? It's more dealing with, like, a current issue.
Yeah, and they even said, like, it was London 2019.
Right.
And I thought that was really interesting. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think that in itself is interesting
appreciate
for Black Mirror.
The idea of that.
Because it's a modern-day telling with modern technology.
Right. Right. Exactly. So be warned, right?
Like these horrors are happening today. This could happen today. And does.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought... That in itself was interesting, but you had 30 minutes worth of content in over an hour.
Yeah, it felt very drawn out as far as a story standpoint. I did like seeing Topher Grace.
Yes, any excuse to see Topher Grace again.
Yeah, we love Topher Grace, other than in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, Spider-Man 3, not so much. I think I enjoyed the idea of it being something that we currently... have in our lives. Everyone's on their cell phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People text and drive or check their Twitter or check their Facebook all the time while driving. They're not supposed to, but they do. And it can lead to ramifications, which can be life-threatening, you know, if not. So it's one of those things where I think it was interesting to explore that issue, but I felt like the storyline was so drawn out that it was like you're dealing with one concept and it's not it didn't tie complete, like it didn't hold it together the whole time. Like that concept didn't make me engaged the whole time.
It felt less about technology and more just of a hostage situation.
Yeah.
And I know that it, like, they use technology throughout it where it's just like, oh, well, you know, because like
we're
because
able
he
to
has
do
a
this.
Social account, we're able to listen in, and because of X, Y, and Z and everything like that, and we have this tech guy who is, you know, like off in the desert. It wasn't enough weird technology for me. It wasn't a concept that was really worth talking about, because I had zero sympathy for the gunman. I had zero sympathy for the guy who took a hostage, because I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry that you feel responsible for your fiance's death. You are responsible for your fiance's death. But why you feel the need to contact the owner of the company is beyond me. I still don't really understand it, just because he wants them to know that his stuff is addicting and people die. Well, I'm just like, yeah, well, I find some personal responsibility. I mean, there's tons of things that distract you while you're driving. Like, oh my gosh, I freaking love McDonald's fries. They are the best McDonald's fries out there. They make them so addicting. Like, they just make them better and better every single year. And I want the founder of McDonald's to know that I dropped some on the floor, and when I went to pick one up because they were just so delicious, I killed my entire family. I just wanted you to hear my story. Go screw yourself. Who gives a crap?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's, you know, it's the idea that it's misplaced. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but and yet he did blame himself. So it just, again, it felt like so drawn out to drive that concept home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I thought the most interesting thing was how everyone just kind of got back to life after.
I thought that was funny. Yeah.
Like
you check in their feeds, they're just like, oh, that ended. I'm just going to go and play basketball
right,
now.
And just showing how like news stories so quickly pass, right? That they just kind of are in our stream of consciousness, like, oh, and now moving on.
You're bleep on. Yeah, like,
right.
This is somebody's entire world, but it's just five seconds of our time, if that.
Right, which is, again, bleak. But
and such a cop-out at the end. So frustratingly a cop-out at the end, where they don't reveal if somebody got shot or who got shot or what that woman found when she opened up her daughter's profile. Such
It was like they didn't really tie any loose ends up. It was just like, okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't... It's not like Inception where it's just like, oh, I wonder which is real. It's like, no. You didn't finish your story.
Exactly. You just decided not to tell us.
You finished 5 seconds early. Congratulations.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Should we talk about the Miley Cyrus one?
That's the first time you've ever heard that on
the show.
I
know, right? Was it Rachel, Jack,
and
Ashley
too?
Okay, yeah.
This one was...
It was more interesting than I thought it was going to be, but
I don't know. I gave Smithereens like 3 stars, just because there was a few moments that I thought were really good, and I love Topher Grace. I think Topher.
Just for Topher Grace,
I pretty much
gave it
3 stars just for Topher.
There you go.
With this one, I gave 2.5, because everyone. I looked online and everyone's just like, "Oh, Miley Cyrus is surprisingly good in this." I'm like, "Is she?" Is she really?
Yeah. Well, she's playing a girl who's a pop star. Was there a lot of stretch there?
Yeah. I get so tired of the I'm a pop
isn't
star.
Isn't she trying?
Yeah. Isn't she trying her hardest? I get so tired of the I'm a pop star. I live in a mansion, but I'm trapped creatively. I get so tired of that story. I'm exhausted with that story.
I would love to be trapped creatively.
I would love to be trapped creatively. Yes, please. Give me the mansion. Give me the money. And I just have to just moan every once in a while. Like, oh, I can't write edgy songs anymore.
I think it's just such a far concept from like the average person that it's again, like it's removed from like daily life, you know, so it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, you have everything you could possibly want.
Like, I know we all have our prisons. I get that.
Yes,
we do. No matter if you're, you know, very wealthy or very poor or very middle America or whatever you want to say, like,
right,
whether you're happy or sad, like, we all have our own prisons. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I get that. I understand that money doesn't buy happiness, but it really does buy security. And you know, it's just like, it's just, if it
like if they,
I think it's just a trope that we've seen too often.
Yes.
I think more than like it being like, oh, poor you. It's just like we've all seen this done so many times.
But then when they took it further, that's when it got interesting.
Yeah.
Like when she went into a coma.
Yeah.
When she was forced into a coma.
That was interesting to me.
And then they were just like, okay, we're going to do a digital copy of you.
And again, that was fascinating.
That's the interesting part. That should have happened way earlier in the story.
Yes.
And also you have this little robot that's an AI running around, but then it gets liberated because there's like a block on the AI where it's actually her consciousness put into this robot. And we've seen that in Black Mirror before.
Right.
Several times.
So it was not foreign to us.
And so it, like, I like that concept where it was easier to block her personality so that she could only use 4% of her intelligence instead of just rewriting her personality.
Right.
I love that concept. But the thing is, we should have had a liberated Ashley too way earlier in the story.
Yes.
Way earlier in the story.
Yes, it's very true. Yeah. I thought that, again, once like Ashley 2 was like, what would you call that?
Liberated.
That was when it got interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that was,
but that was like the last 5 minutes of the whole thing.
Like,
right?
maybe a little bit more than that.
Still, it took too long. It took way too long to actually get interesting, because the first half at least was something we've seen over and over and over,
over and over again, and so much buildup. And I think I described it as I don't understand how this can be so slow and rushed at the same time.
Yeah, well, they didn't spend their time wisely.
Right. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect way to phrase it. They didn't spend their time wisely. And it's just like, did you ever see the movie Simone?
No.
It's an Al Pacino movie.
I know what it is. Yeah.
It's an Al Pacino movie that no one's seen.
Okay.
And I own it on DVD. And so this guy creates a computer program that can be manipulated. Like, you can like type in what you want it to do, and then it's photorealistic. You can plop it into a film like green screen, and like you have a perfect actress. Like, it's a director's dream where you just tell this thing what to do, or you act it out for them, and then it interpolates it, and then you have this actress. And this felt like Vox Lux with Natalie Portman smashed with Simone. Like, that's what this episode felt like.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it just, again, like, I thought I would have loved to have explored how they were able to get her music out of her head more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they were like, oh, yeah, we can just take this.
I totally have that button.
I have that button, and we can get this note. And see, that's a G. And, oh, that's an A sharp. Like, no. Tell me how you're doing that a little bit more. Like, and I'm not, like, super into, like, the tech stuff.
Like, fake science.
Yeah. But we really just glanced over that, and that was the most interesting thing of the episode. So that was frustrating.
Also, I couldn't stop thinking, like, you're doing all of this 6 months after she had her coma. Like, would the world be ready for that? Would the world not judge you harshly?
That she's laying in a coma?
She's laying in a coma, and you're releasing this album that you've sucked out of her dreams, and then you're going to be selling a virtual version of her, a virtual holographic version of her, only 6 months. I'm like, even for today's fast-paced, give-me-whatever-I-want culture and not caring about the person behind the media, that's still...
It seems a little, like, extreme.
It seems a little extreme, and I know it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but for some reason I kept thinking about that.
No, I did too, because I was thinking, like, okay, they're explaining that this is what she would have wanted, but it felt very like, you know, if it was something like, oh, well, we were able to get this and she did pass away, and so you have this one last album, that would have been way different than her still being in a coma.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a little strange.
It was strange. And one thing that I read, and I totally didn't realize this when we were watching it, was all the songs that Ashley sang were Nine Inch Nails songs, but like
where the lyrics were tweaked to be happy.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, that's funny. It was the same kind of beat and structure, but just it was all upbeat and with upbeat lyrics.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
Huh. Yeah, that's really interesting.
And like Trent Reznor signed off on it. He's just said, he's like, oh, this is hilarious. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think that this season, from what I've seen of Black Mirror, is pretty weak compared. But it was fun to watch something new.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me want to go back and watch more Black Mirror.
It did. It did.
And it's just the thing about it, even with the crappy episodes of Black Mirror, it does make you have a conversation after and talk about, well, what if, you know, would you have an Ashley 2? Would you buy an Ashley 2 for your kid? You know, would you, you know, okay, we have social media, you know, like Smithereen. So how addicted am I personally that, you know, am I using my, you know, account in my car or whatever? You know, I don't game, so the Striking Vipers one didn't really resonate, but I'm sure there will be technology one day that you have to make a choice whether you participate or not, and there are ways to abuse it or use it in a way that people find pleasurable, right? And you might decide to participate, or you might decide, like, I don't know if I even want to go through discovering whether I like that or not.
Yeah.
So it just very interesting conversations that, you know, with technology always progressing, we will have to have conversations like that one day. So it's always interesting to watch these episodes.
And that's the beauty of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it. That's all that we have to say about season 5 of Black Mirror. What did you guys think about season 5 of Black Mirror? We already talked to you about how you can contact us. So all you need to do is go to thenerdparty.com and check all of our backlogged episodes too. Go to thenerdparty.com/nerdnuptial. We got tons and tons of content for you to pay attention to and listen to and enjoy. And we also have other shows. We got Star Wars shows, Star Trek shows, Harry Potter shows, Babylon 5 shows, Doctor Who shows, we got film shows, retrospectives, everything. We got so many different things coming at you every single day of the week. There is something for everybody at thenerdparty.com.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.